Welcome to Hot Breath Comedy Fam. On Monday, May 13th, I am teaching a clean comedy workshop. The last four I have taught sold out very quickly. So if you want to learn about clean comedy, the business side, where the line is, how to write clean comedy, go to the link in the description of this episode and we'll see you there.
Well, you know, you can give away the sauce, but you know, if you don't use the same cooks, it's not gonna taste the same. You know what I'm saying? Everything has a process, like with math. You learn the formulas and shit, and then you start to get results. Because you can do every fucking problem if you know the formula. You get what I'm saying?
You got a formula?
Yeah, yeah, I got a formula.
Talk to him.
My formula? You give up the whole sauce for real, bro.
Without the chefs, though.
Yeah, you just, that's what I'm saying. You don't let nobody interrupt your sauce when you cooking. People have lost the understanding and the value of the word you. You got to be comfortable with all the decisions that you make as a human and stop depending on other people to supply your happiness, wants, needs, thoughts, and desires. Mm. It's selfish, but it's real. Don't never let nobody or nothing disappoint you. You got to be comfortable with yourself and know that you are the key factor that can change your situation, your life. At the end of the day, you are the key. You are the DJ Khaled and Major Key.
Yeah, yeah.
But you are the key.
Hot breath. What's up, Hot Breathiverse? We back. I am reporting to you live from a comedy condo slash apartment slash closet. This is an exciting one. This is the first of its kind here. I am out at Chattanooga working the Comedy Catch all weekend. It's been a dandy old time and a good lesson for people and just how comedy can take care of you. I booked a show in Charlotte Sunday, the day I'm recording this, and then that got canceled. And then 10 minutes later, I got contacted about doing an entire weekend in Chattanooga. So, won't he do it? Let him use you. And, wow. So anyway, I'm recording this intro and outro from my phone so I can still get this episode out in time for you because I will be getting back super late tonight on that comedy grind. I hope you kids are out there on your grind, whether it's hitting the stages, whether it's writing, like we had the Write 10 Challenge. Don't think I didn't forget. Remember, I posted an episode last Wednesday. The whole challenge is to write at least 10 minutes a day for the next week. So I hope you're doing it. If you're not, it's not too late to start. But we all the way out here. And this is a special one because I got the results from our top 10 most downloaded episodes. And I took to the Hot Breathiverse. I asked you on all of our social media, on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, I reached out and asked, hey, out of these top 10, what is your favorite? And drum roll, out of all the episodes on there, whether it be with Bo Burnham or Tramo or the manager of the Laughing Skull, Andrew George, Sean Patton, Sam Morrell, so many on this top 10, and I will link them all in the show notes for you. Oh, that's a lot of work. I may not do that, but we'll see. Nah, I will. You know what? Because comedy is work, but it's worth it. So we will link the top 10 in the show notes for you peeps. But your voice has been heard. You voted, and now you're receiving the most voted episode of 2018, Carlos Miller, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, yes, the sensei himself, Mr. 85 South, Mr. Baby Bird, Mr. all the other hashtags he's known for. This dude is the next Martin Lawrence. He is one of the funniest people on the planet. We've been honored to have him on here twice. The first one, it was him in his apartment and two strippers. That was an early episode. I'll link in the show notes. Man, I'm just everything linked in the show notes, but it's for your convenience. But for this one, I wanted to do something special and actually play the episode y'all voted for the most. Even if you've heard this episode, this is his second interview he did that I'm posting. This was the most downloaded of 2018, but the highest voted of 2018, and it is a comedy masterclass. I promise, if you have heard this one, I promise, listen again, you will learn something new. without a doubt. So tune into this one. Take notes. Next week's episode is going to be very special as well. I'm actually doing a Q&A episode. So I'll be posting on all social media, gathering your questions to answer live on social media. You can feel free to send them as a recording and be heard on Hot Breath next week, or just simply type it in and I will read it out loud, let them know who it was. And either way, you can hear your name shouted out on here. So that's what we're going to be doing next week as we're wrapping up 2018. It's almost a best of. And this week, starting out, is a best of with our most highly voted episode. And it is very well deserved. So I said all that to say, thanks for hanging out. Thanks for your support. I greatly appreciate it. And now enjoy one of the best interviews of our 160 Hot Breath episodes. This will go down in history as historical. So here we go. There's only one thing left to do. You know what? I'm so out of my element here. I didn't do the beginning Hot Breath thing. So some of you may have been thinking about this whole intro. Hey, he didn't do the thing. Well, come on, Hot Brethren and Sistren. This is Joel Byers. This is Hot Breath, your weekly guide to comedy mastery. And you know what time it is. Hot Breath. That was worth the wait. So let's get into it. Now that we have achieved maximum Hot Breath status, there's only one thing left to do. And that is inhale a hot breath with Carlos Miller.
A lot's changed. We are all the way out here, man. You got a house now?
This microphone. I ain't gonna be able to play this shit.
And hold the mic. Oh, were you planning on playing a video game and doing a podcast?
It's all good.
Did I just shut off. Did I just ruin
no,
your day?
No, you did not. You can't ruin my day, bro. My day is not ruinable. Is that a word?
I just made a word.
Oh, we're already starting. He yeah. just made a word.
I made a word, man.
I can't sing.
What's going on?
Dude, thanks for doing this, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
It's been a minute. Literally last time, well, there wasn't a TV on last time.
I'm turning it off.
But we were in a dark apartment with two strippers.
Yeah, in my mind.
You called it your Rick James moment. No, there were actual strippers.
Yeah.
You probably don't even remember.
No, I definitely remember that. I was having a Rick James moment. I just went to Kuwait and I renamed the base Rick James Air Force Base.
Oh, you're still in your Rick James game.
There will be multiple Rick James tributes throughout my life.
What is it about Rick James you like so much?
Shit, he's a pimp. He's just a funk legend, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Funk, you know what I'm saying? The funk doesn't die. So I don't want Rick James' name to die. I want to keep it going.
What were you doing out there in Kuwait?
Telling jokes to some soldiers, man.
Doing, just performing on bases around there?
Well, I just did. We had one show over there, and I just went and performed over there on the Air Force base and shit. It was pretty dope, man. They showed us love. Much love to all the soldiers protecting these freedoms.
How often do you do those shows?
Man, I just do whatever comes up on the calendar, man. I ain't too specific in what kind of show it is. So,
yeah.
You know, that came up in the rotation. But I'm always open to doing stuff like that. I'm actually looking forward to doing some more, you know, just to see what else we have people that want to see us.
You got your NPR voice going on right now.
Yeah,
super,
man.
Super, like, smooth.
I'm trying to, you know, manipulate the audience into believing me. You know?
No, I get...
You know, when you listen to some shit like this, it's supposed to be comforting.
Okay, yeah,
voices
yeah.
are real important when you...
Because they're used to hearing you all the way out. Wilding
yeah.
out.
Yeah, sometimes.
I'm glad it's a black and mild, not weed this time.
Bruh,
that messed me up last time.
Yeah, you got shit to do after this, man.
Yeah, that I was just in the room and like, bruh, I can't even process right now.
What do you expect to happen when you're in a room with strippers, man? It's going to be some kind
of... I didn't know there were going to be strippers. I just pulled up and there were two chicks and then we start and you're like, how much should we pay them to get naked? And I was like, how much are you paying them? No, I'm not paying.
Because I know you weren't. You were probably already trying to get your wife and shit. Had you paid those people, you wouldn't have met your wife. You see how life works?
Boom.
If it wasn't for those two strippers, who the fuck knows where we would be right now? Dude. Maybe the first episode would have sucked and you would have found somebody else.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Without Carlos Miller, I would not have a wife. Thank you so much for...
The strippers.
Without the strippers.
Yeah. The strippers were there when nobody else was there. It's a metaphor, Joe.
No, I feel you on that. That was back in episode 16 when you were...
What episode you on now?
I'm in the 130s now.
That's dope, man. Anybody cool been through this bitch?
Carlos Miller.
Yeah, he's cool.
Aries Spears.
Oh, my God.
Roy Wood Jr.
Stop fucking playing.
I just had your boy Chad, the producer of 85 South Show, on here.
What was he talking about, man?
Hey, man, he gave away all the sauce.
No, he didn't. Well, you know, you can give away the sauce, but, you know, if you don't use the same cooks, it's not going to taste the same.
Ooh.
You know, with the recipe, you can't duplicate the sauce.
Yo, that's good.
Yeah.
How many times have you said that?
Twice.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for us getting it on the record.
Right. You got it.
He was just talking about how strategic the 85 South show is. It's not just like a bunch of people on and then they're just kind of filming it. Like every move along the way is completely intentional and strategic.
Yeah, man. I think we do a good job of tying that shit back together at the end to make it all make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it like behind the scenes of that machine? From like the talent perspective,
behind the scenes is just like on the scene. You know what I'm saying? Like we make sure that we give people the look of the whole aspect of the show, from the studio to the interview to the live show. So whatever you see on the camera, just know it was a lot more of that going on off the camera. Try to give them a real life raw look into how shit really is, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah, like you guys filmed the show you did in Tallahassee where you about didn't even do it because you weren't going to get paid. And now you're doing 800 seats at House of Blues.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
But that's just the game, though, bro. Some nights you be at Madison Square Garden. Then some nights you at a fucking crack 'em up huckle in Asheville, Knoxville, Kentucky, one of those places. It's just you just never know where your career may take you. Some nights you're a star, and then some nights you're a comic.
Have you actually done Madison Square? Have you?
Nah.
Oh, I didn't know if that
but
was
that's
really.
But I see it happening one day. I feel like that's just one of those things you do as an entertainer. But I don't know. You know, comedy kind of loses its vibe when you put it in a space that's that big. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. The intimacy and that connection.
Yeah.
You're kind of just screaming into a void.
Yeah.
But that's a dope void.
It is a dope void. It's a real good problem to have.
Right, you know exactly. I mean? We're talking about Madison Garden, and you just don't reach the people like you do at Huckle Hut, you know?
The Huckle Hut, man. That's where you really get your chops at. That's where you really have to do comedy, bro.
Yeah.
Every comedian is not an entertainer. Some people are entertainers, man. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You just want to see them. It ain't even just about what they're saying or doing. It's just being a part of what they're creating. And you've already seen the history they already made.
And you're at that point now.
I wouldn't want to go see my favorite comedian at Madison Square Garden, if that makes any sense comedic perspective. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I would much rather be at a center stage or, you know, a Fox Theater somewhere, you know, that's still a big size venue. That's not 60,000, 50,000 seaters. You know
right.
I mean?
Yeah. What's probably the biggest audience you've been in front of?
Probably about 10,000.
What was that for?
I was on the Wildin' Out tour.
Oh, yeah.
We had a lot of shows that sold out a lot of venues that we did. I think we had about 5,000 here in Atlanta. Something like that. One of those places I never heard of. That I live here. It was like way the fuck up, 85 somewhere.
But it was packed.
It was packed to capacity, bro. Like fully sold out.
That's what's so funny about interviewing you the first time is that you were talking about how you didn't even feel like a main cast member of Wildin' Out yet. You said you still don't.
You still don't?
Nah,
man. What? It's just every day. Because it's like, I guess you just have to be around this shit to know what they feel like. Nobody feels like they're a star on the show, like they're needed. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
You know, it's crazy because we've been on there for a lot of seasons. We've seen a lot of people come and go and come back and be banished and yeah, all types of shit. You know what I mean? It's just, you just never know who that person could be. And you see a lot of people leave the show and go do bigger shit, be more successful. And it's just like, well, it's just like, you know, I don't know. It's like a combine or some shit.
It is kind of like, it's almost like an SNL.
Yeah, it's kind of like a hood version of that, but better. SNL doesn't have the allure like it did. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Like, because some of the, it seems like sometimes they have some great ideas and they start out great and then the punchline just get lost. You know what I'm saying? But it's a great, I guess if you look at it like, since you got to put, that's the biggest shit and been around the longest, you got to put it in the number one place. So it's easy to critique it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
What it's not. But bro, you know, that's like one of the top shows that you could be on as a comedian. Like, I guess that's like a holy grail. You know what I'm
saying? That's almost a rite of passage.
Yeah. It's like you really did some elite level shit to be part of that. So Wilding Out is kind of like that, but maybe the stepbrother or some shit.
It's SNL is more of very crafted sketches, very rehearsed and very precise, but seems Wilding Out is almost the exact opposite.
Right. This is what happens when nothing happens.
Except magic.
Right.
Just the moment. You guys can just create magic in that moment.
Yeah, but you know, just when it comes to that type of shit, sometimes it's hit or miss. It's hit or miss with that. Because a lot of people think that it's a whole lot more that goes into the actual preparation, but it's really not. It's really prepared right in front of this audience. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
Right here, if we burn this shit, it's burnt. You know what I mean? It can't change that. But the good thing about it is the way the show moves, you can go from some shit that maybe the audience wasn't necessarily feeling like that, but they get it, that it's a show. So I'm just trying to make it work too. But then you go to some shit. You always have the ones that you know that are crowd favorites.
Right.
That people came to the show to see. But sometimes they come and they get a show full of 3-4 new games that they didn't even know nothing about. I'm like, wow, okay, this shit is way better than what I was expecting to be here. You know what I mean?
I thought you were going to say that a lot of it just bombs and you just edit it out.
It's not even, it's like, that's the part of it though. When you're doing it live in front of an audience, sometimes the shit that bombs is the most classic moment. You know what I mean? We got people on the show who just refuse to let a good joke die. Emmanuel Hudson, for instance.
Okay.
Y'all use him as an example because his whole shit is he gonna try to deliver a terrible joke. Bad joke time. Like, he has those moments and he refuses to bomb. And if he has a joke that's funny to him and the crowd doesn't show, he'll just keep doing it.
Yeah.
Like, he'll actually, like the dime joke episode, he made the whole episode about the joke that he did that did not work. It was crazy. It was a classic comedy.
Turn a failure into a success.
That's what life is all about. Success.
Boom.
And then, like, failure is temporary. It's only real as long as you accept it.
But failure can be a good teacher.
But that's what I'm saying. If you get taught something, you learn how to succeed, you didn't fail. You just lack the knowledge to succeed at the moment.
Ooh.
God damn, that shit was hot.
Dropping dimes.
I got a smoke on that.
Yeah. Let's put out a...
Let that bitch breathe.
Ooh. You got that wisdom.
Is it? I think it's because I'm a little bit older than a lot of people that's around the circle. And I've had time to really sit back and think about different aspects of shit. Because, you know, as you get older, your thinking opens up.
Mm.
You stop looking at what they told you or what you saw because you start to understand how things work. You know what I'm saying? Everything has a process. Like with math, you learn the formulas and shit, and then you start to get results. Because you can do every fucking problem if you know the formula. You get what I'm saying?
You got a formula?
Yeah, I got a formula.
Talk to him.
My formula? You give up the whole sauce for real, bro.
Without the chefs, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You don't let nobody interrupt your sauce when you cooking. People have lost the understanding and the value of the word you. Because at the end of the night, you got to lay down by yourself and get up in the morning, look yourself in the mirror. You got to be comfortable with all the decisions that you make as a human and stop depending on other people to supply your happiness, wants, needs, thoughts, and desires.
Mm.
It's selfish, but it's real. And when you start believing in other people, that's how you open yourself up to disappointments, failures, heartbreak, depression, all that shit. Because your expectations is the fastest way to disappointment. Don't never let nobody or nothing disappoint you. You got to be comfortable with yourself and know that you are the key factor that can change your situation, your life. At the end of the day, you are the key. Y'all, DJ Khaled said Major Keys.
Yeah, yeah.
But you are the key. And every time you can put some knowledge and work it and execute it, it's just like you got another one on your loop of keys. The more keys you got, the less you need from other motherfuckers. If you're looking for somebody to make you financially happy, and that's all you need, you want somebody because they got money or whatever you think they can do for you, think of how you're going to feel when you in that position and you're not looking for nobody else to give you what you've been craving. If money is your vice and you get some money, then what? You're going to have to find another vice because money ain't going to be your, it's not going to be a drug no more because you're in the excess of it. And it's the thrill is gone, like the old blues song, B.B. King, the thrill of it is gone. It's the thrill of the chase. It's a lot of shit that we think that we want until we actually get it.
So is that where you are right now? Like you've gotten a lot of what you want and it's not what you thought it would be?
No, it's not even that. It's just that. That's why I can say that I'm happy with where I am and my success as a person or however people may see it or not. I do what makes me happy. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's not a Ferrari that's your dream car. Your shit might be right there in your grasp. It might be the fucking Mustang that you wanted in high school or, you know what I'm saying? You always just wanted a GT or some crazy shit. Like whatever it is that you desire. See, that's what separates the people from like greatness and regular motherfuckers. The desire to be yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like you look, I'm sitting here watching these motherfuckers build this car. You might look at that shit and be like, I don't want that shit. But that's somebody's dream car. And that's all they ever wanted. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so that's the type of shit I'm saying. It's like, what is it that makes you happy? It might not even be an iPhone. It might just, you just got to live for yourself is basically what I'm saying. Your happiness starts and ends with you.
You being on the other side, it's like, and just this being the follow-up interview, before you were on the rise and you're still rising. This right. is by no means like you're still almost you just getting started and where you're actually going to end up. But as you've seems like you've seen the other side of the fence now and you've maybe been in certain rooms with certain people and you've seen the quote important people.
Right.
What has that revealed to you?
Just what I finished saying.
All that is what you learned.
Yeah,
from
that's
that.
What wow. I learned, bro. It's like you'll sit around, you can be around, you can meet your idols, man. And they'll sit there and you'll see like, damn, that's what make you connect with them. The realness. You ever seen somebody, you're like when somebody meets somebody, say, damn, you're so down to earth. It's just a relatable, cool dude. It's because they wasn't trying to pretend to be the motherfucker you thought that they were.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Those are the people who are really the happiest, man. And that's what I'm seeing a lot of people missing out in the world. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people just depressed. Or just chasing shit that they think that they're supposed to have to make people like them. And it's sad, bro. That's how you see a lot of people get lost in the entertainment field. They start chasing things, items, objects, and people.
You got to have a vision, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, how did you develop your vision? Because you've made...
Trial and error. Boom. I actually went through and did it. You know what I'm saying? None of the shit that I have or got in my comedy career or entertainment career was handed to me. I actually had to physically put labor into it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what made me start seeing like, okay, shit, if I do this and this happens or this doesn't happen, then what? You know what I mean? Because you still got to stay busy in between these projects. That shit don't come out when you do it. You got to stay hot until this shit come on. You don't want to have the hottest TV show on TV and you fell off in the 6 months it took for them to, you know, you know what I mean? You got a job and shit. Yeah. You a waiter. You got to quit your job so you can go to your premiere and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we shot a TV show together a little while ago. It was just like a little pilot.
Yeah, and that, it was dope too.
That was my first time being around comedians of that caliber, where I'm like, oh, these are like,
bro, we're part of some classic shit now, bro. We're working with Donnell Rollins, Charlie Murphy.
Charlie Murphy, dude.
Man, it was, and then it was like the Mike Epps project, though.
That, yeah, that's what it was. That's what it
you
was.
Know what I'm saying, and when they, man, it's just crazy how that happened. I ain't never forgot about that.
And even the writers were dope. These were dudes who had written on like South Park and In Living Color. Like the whole project, I was like, yeah. And then it's one of those things that, you know, just never kind of. Well, of course, not without Charlie, of course.
Right.
R.I.P.
But I mean,
but in general, it never really.
Being there and being a part of it, I know that that shit was funny as hell.
So funny.
And it was. It's probably still could come out. Hopefully, one day somebody wants to see it.
You have a lot of projects that you shoot, and then they just it just that's just the game.
Yeah, I think that's just part of the game, bro. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's people out there who got 100 pilots or 20 or 30. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
probably are great shows that they stop production mid episode. Like, nah, this shit ain't gonna work.
Right.
Just because of the politics of the game. It's not always about the quality of the show or the people who run it. It's people up top who just sit back and they want to. They flip channels and they want to be part of the wave of what's hot and new right now. They just, and they lose focus because they have a boss who doesn't give a fuck about that. They just saw that this show is doing that. And
just
that's what the network is doing now.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah,
it's fucked up, bro.
Just
a lot of talent get lost in that because, you know, people, nobody likes rejection or feeling like they fail, whether it be your fault or not. So you fuck around and lose a job or some shit you thought that you was going to, you know, some income that you was expecting and you don't know how to bounce back, that shit can cause depression and drugs and all types of shit, bro.
You been down that road?
Yeah, hell yeah. I lost a lot of money doing this shit.
Talk about it.
Bruh.
Tell them.
I lost about $25,000 for some cruises, for some tweets.
You just had some tweets they didn't approve of?
Yeah.
What were they?
Shit, tweets, regular just tweets. Sure. I don't give.
Tweets
see, if
are
it
crazy.
Come to some shit like that, I don't give a fuck, man. I don't nobody run my shit. And a lot of these promoters and people who book you for shows, they think that that gives them access to your social media where you're the promoter. Mm-hmm. I got to be the promoter and the talent. Fuck you. I'm not doing that shit.
Unless that's part of the pay. Like,
right. Like, I'm not doing that shit. I'm going to post the shit to let the people know that follow me to come fuck with me. But I'm not about to promote this shit. I don't give a fuck what the fuck you talking about. You the headliner. Well, you the promoter. Your name says promoter.
Right.
They're not coming. They're coming because you told them I was coming. It's not. See, a lot of times you go do shows in these cities and they go, oh, the shit didn't sell out. It's not that they don't fuck with me. They don't fuck with you. Mm. I'm coming to do a show in your city where you live. You don't, and you're a promoter, and you don't know 300 people. How you a promoter then? You can't bring 200 people to a club, 300 people. You the promoter. Half of the club supposed to be your people, promoter.
Mm-hmm.
The other half is, you supposed to be, nah, we gonna have to add another show because I promoted this shit well. Man, you ain't did shit. The game is ugly, man. People, it's a lot of people stealing, man, and that's why a lot of people walk around bitter and angry because there's too many hands in the pot and people playing the sympathy, acting like they don't have it, and then they stealing from you.
Stealing what?
On every money, on every level. Uh-huh. You're getting robbed at the comedy club. You're getting robbed at the network. You're getting robbed on all of that shit, bro. It's not even that. It's like some of these people that you go do these shows and, you know, shit for, it's like these people who, you know, like these corporations and networks, you know, are super rich as fuck, and they, it's like you've worked with them before and it's like they just have a problem with paying you, like they have a personal vendetta against seeing you have happiness in life or some shit. Like, they just like, nah, we know him, only give him this much. Like, what the fuck?
But do you negotiate it?
You have to negotiate.
Yeah,
but that's the game too. Negotiation is a whole nother part of the game. That's why you need agents and managers and shit. People believe your shit more when other people are speaking on your behalf.
Because
if you had to sit there back and forth and tell these people what you was worth and why you need this money, you're going to get frustrated and be like, fuck this shit. I got to tell you why I need this money. If my fucking roof collapsed, right, and I call the roof dude, he said, well, it's going to be $3,500 to put a new roof on this bitch. He not about to say, I'm spending exactly $39 on nails. I got to hire this dude who I'm paying $1,750. He not about to break that shit down, bro. Do you want this shit or no? Because we on to the next one. Somebody calling me right now, bro. We need to. If you're trying to fuck with this shit, fuck with it. But all that other shit, leave me out of it, man.
What is it like in those rooms where, I mean, it, I feel like at this point, like with the following you have and the influence you have, it seems like you would have the leverage in those situations.
Bro, they'll still tell you that it's not enough. If you got 1 million followers, you need 2, 5. Okay. If you got 5, you need 10. Whatever it is that you have, just know that you're only halfway there. Be the most talented motherfucker in the world, but they'll tell you you can't read music. Or, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You don't fucking need to read music to do the shit that you do. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Everything don't apply to everybody.
I think that's what 85 South is all about, is you guys doing it your way.
But see, the 85 South show is us saying, oh, y'all don't want to fuck with it? All right, we'll fuck with it. We'll do it ourselves.
Yeah.
Because we know that. We interact. We on the road. We know what people want. We know what they need. This ain't that. Even if they put, if you put us on your network, your TV show, they still need this. You get what I'm saying? This is the part that they fuck with because they seen us come up and rise as comedians and be on television and be on different shows and add those notches and, you know, stripes to our comedic accolades. So they know what the rise is. They seen DC on Instagram and Vine and all that. They know that the grind pays off and you get to get bigger and bigger and bigger. But at some point, they're like, but what you doing? We see you every night on CSI, but what you doing though? What you know what I'm saying? What you talking about? We know that you ain't getting to say the shit that you want to say. So what do you have to say? It don't have to be fucking 5D HD red camera. Now I want to see that camera phone shit. Somebody record that. They smoking a blunt. What they talking about? I guess that shit that you can't get nowhere else.
It's all that authenticity.
Right. Because that's what makes people fuck with you. They need to see that you a real motherfucker like you, like them.
Uh-huh.
It's the realness. How real, what type of blunts this nigga smoking? Is that good? Is that, all right. So is everybody connects with you for different shit. You might make a fan because you did that one clean joke or that one pussy joke made that old man buy that ticket to see you again. Or these white dudes who was tripping on some mushrooms one night and watched your shit for 12 hours straight. Now they really fuck with you. Like you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You never know how people get attracted to you or what makes people buy tickets to come see you specifically.
Or it's P. Diddy inviting you up to the office.
It could
just
be.
Just small stuff like that.
You never know who's sitting back watching these episodes, man.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah. Diddy been watching shit from 40 episodes ago. It was on the Trap House. He liked the Trap episode.
He liked the Trap House episode.
Bruh. It was like, man, how long you been watching this shit? And what episode made you say, all right, man, call them niggas.
Yeah.
What the fuck moment was that? Because I want to know that moment so I can have some more of them shits.
Did you ask him?
Hell yeah.
What'd he say?
Yeah, I asked him, man. I asked Diddy all types of shit.
What'd you learn from him?
I learned that this dude has a wide scope. You know, like the big fish in that shit. This dude has a wide scope of everything that's going on. Not because somebody said, hey, Diddy, check this out. Because he actually physically gets in that bitch and listen, and goes on the YouTube and finds the new shit and vibe with that shit like a real fan. He's still a fan of everything. He's very aware of who he is, and he understands the game and what's going to be the game changes before they're even the game. He can see that shit at his very inkling. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
That's the shit that changed the game. And he'd be passionate about the shit like it's real shit already. You know what I'm saying? That's what I picked up. That's the vibe. And he's really not just like we're so used to seeing Diddy, the character. Yeah. But then you sitting there like, this is a real ass dude. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you would never know that.
He's not yelling, pouring Ciroc everywhere.
You would think that. And that's what you would want to happen. Like, you think that shit is funny now until you would. That's why I was like, bro, we got to drink some Ciroc with Diddy.
Yeah, you said that in the video.
Yeah. But you would definitely, like, if he came out and he was doing that shit, if it was a Big Diddy production and he came out with, you would be like, yeah, fuck yeah. He didn't disappoint me. I knew he was this motherfucker. But then he come out and then he's Sean John. Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, this is whatever, TC. Like, that type, like, oh, man, you never know which Diddy's going to show up.
Yeah. So Sean John showed up.
Bro, we got to speak to Sean John, Diddy, P. Diddy, Puffy. I asked him if I could still call him Puffy. He told me it was cool. Because that was like all the rap shit, the old rap shit that I came up with, like Big Smalls. And like Missy used to throw Puffy name in a lot of her songs.
Oh, yeah.
She had the famous line, Puff Daddy be my pal. And she said that in like 7 songs, bro. Mm-hmm. I always wondered, why was Missy and Diddy such good friends? I never saw the connection. But she threw that in a lot of songs, bro. Yeah, man, I had a ball. I asked him about that infamous line where he said, I got a Benz that I ain't even drove yet. He said he still ain't drove it.
Are you just kidding me?
I'm not, bro. He said he still ain't drove it, man. Serious business.
That's game right there, man.
Bro, that is crazy.
Yeah. What on the actual, why did he hit That's you guys just, up? Like, what was the reason?
He loves the show, bro. He loves the show.
He really want to work with you? Like, what?
Yeah, he really fucks with what we got going on. He sees that we're building an organic following and we're giving them raw, real content, every look, different looks. You know what I'm saying? And he just sees that we could really do something big with what we have. From what he was telling us.
Like, did he have a vision just thinking of it being on Revolt or even just trying to be like, this is what the potential could be?
Even it was just even bigger than that. He was like, even if it's not Revolt, right, I just know that this is the new shit. This is a wave in comedy. Not just saying that this is comedy. This is a different perspective that we're not getting nowhere else. And like, it's not super flashy rapper. It's not bling bling in your face. It's the joys, the pains, the ups, the downs, the grind of chasing the entertainment dream. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You guys are actually capturing that.
Right. In the meantime.
And from the jump, like from this was kind of started at the bottom, now we're here, and you're just now getting started.
Yeah, it was, like I said this past Sunday, you brought up the House of Blues. It's just a dope-ass intro. Like all the years of just putting in work, I always feel like it's still the first day.
Still.
Every time I pursue anything, whether it be an episode of Wildin' Out or a movie audition or just filming some TV work, I would, like, that's the part of comedy that I just never got over. Every time I get a call for a show, I'm still excited. I still, you know what I mean? All that shit.
What do you think, seeing the path you're going on right now and the mistakes you've made and the people you've surrounded yourself with, what are some things comedians can do to really take their career into their own hands?
This sounds crazy, but I call this shit like the Soulja Boy method. It's like, but a lot of, like, I guess a good street transit, like, terminology would be to fake it till you make it. Not even necessarily saying be a fake person, but you got to start building the shit that you want before somebody else comes and validates you. You know what I'm saying? Like, invest in yourself. And that shit sound corny, but it'll pay off in the long run because you'll just get in the habit of doing business. Like, comedians nowadays, from the difference that I see from when I was first starting and comedians now is they don't take themselves seriously like comedians did. Even when we were 6 months, 8 months, a year into the game, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Even the dude who wasn't the funniest comedian around still knew how to go manipulate a headshot or manipulate some business cards or burn a DVD or have a CD, just something to show motherfuckers that you was here to stay. You know what I'm saying? That's the difference.
Are followers as important as people are playing them up to be right now?
What if you had a bunch of followers that didn't like you?
Why would they follow you?
to tell you every day that they don't like you. Wow. To tell you that everything you believe in is fucking terrible. That they hate all of your everything you've ever done and you created. They hate it. And they hope you don't make it. And they just come to your page to check to make sure you ain't made it yet.
That almost seems to be the chase right now, though, is everybody's worried about followers instead of quality.
You see people all the time who have a million followers, right? I just say that because that's the benchmark, right? And then you look at some shit that they post, and that shit get 5,000 likes. But then you see the girl with the fat ass who got 8,000 followers. Every picture that she posts get 34,000 likes and 22,000 comments.
Yep.
Which position would you rather be in? Would you rather have a lot of people that don't fuck with you or a handful of people that support the fuck out of everything you do?
Either way, I don't want my ass out.
Yeah, I can see why. I can see why you, I mean, every, because that's the thing about men. We couldn't, if we wanted some attention, you couldn't just post your dick print.
But
no
I
matter
even
who
think
you are, it's not, you're not going to attract the type of women that you would want to see it. It'd be a bunch of fat bitches and women named Tanya that work at the Waffle House. Like, yeah, come get some pussy. You're like, ugh.
Sound like you've been having people slide through the DMs.
No, I'm just saying, bro. As a, like, as a dude, it don't matter how fucking attractive or sexy you think you are. If you go on that bitch and post some pictures, it's not going to attract the type of women that you want to see that shit. It just don't work like that for us.
But it could even be metaphorically, and having your ass out could mean you post like
doing
a wax
shit that's
sketch.
just asking just, for attention.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
can tell, you can see the desperation in a lot of people's ass, bro. Social media made a lot of people famous that don't do shit. It was the dislike that made people like everything. It's a lot of motherfuckers who just people go see what the fuck they're doing because they're doing some stupid shit just to be like, look at this stupid shit. Look at this dumb. This shit is not funny. Look at your boy. That's what I'm saying, man. Hating. Somebody found a way to reverse the hate with online shit and social media.
Yeah.
Found a whole way to flip the script. So even the more you dislike some shit, the further it goes. Because when you don't like some shit, you tell everybody. When you do like some shit, you don't even want to like it. You leave a comment.
Hate can spread just as far as love.
That's why I posted that shit yesterday, bro. It's not the truth that we're looking for. It's the lies that keep us happy. Social media. You got to be careful with that shit, though.
Seems like you've done a lot of...
But did you
go to, like, India?
I don't know.
What is all this wisdom?
But I'm just saying, you asked if the followers are important. It's like, yeah, it's important if you're in the industry and you're doing something with them. But if you just got a bunch of followers to watch you do shit, then what the fuck are you doing? You're not getting no money off that.
Right. But that's the
thing. It's a gift and a curse, man. Because then you get these followers and they like you. And then you think that you're somebody, right? And then you post a picture of your mom on Mother's Day and they roast your mom. Or they talk about your son. Like, why is shoes dirty? Like, you're like, what? Who are these people?
Yeah. I saw a video of you. You were like walking in the mall and this car just rolls up on you and starts roasting you.
Bro, I thought those dudes was going to jump out that bitch with AK-47, AR-15. They want to play and shit. And it's definitely not the time to be playing. You know what I'm saying? I was like, whoa, man,
Does that happen a lot?
You never know. You can't do shit. People always peeping and watching. You never know who's lurking. So you always got to stay sharp, man.
You been in some scary situations?
I don't get scared of shit like that, though. The most terrifying situations that I've escaped, they weren't scary. I guess because your mind just going to another mode or some shit. But like the scariest shit that I've ever been through in my life wasn't even scary going through it. It's after the fact when you sit back and you look at what could have happened that you start overthinking and shit like, oh, fuck, start being prepared for over preparing for the next time or whatever.
What was that?
You just, man, there's a lot of situations where you end up in rooms with full of people with motherfuckers you don't know and you way the fuck over there and it's one door out and you start just like, all right, let me get the fuck out of here before that time. Because some kind of way the people that I was with had wandered off and I don't know where the fuck I am and I don't know none of these people. And these motherfuckers extra friendly. and it's too quiet in here. There's too many motherfuckers looking at me.
It's happened recently?
It happened all the time where you just have to realize where the fuck you are and be aware of your surroundings. You just wandering around some city you ain't familiar with. You ain't noticing this motherfucker following you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You're not even paying attention to this car that then looped by and saw you and went down and turned around. And people, you know what I'm saying? You just have to be extra alert because you never know who knows you and what they see you as.
Because you tour all the around the world now. You kind of have more of a global perspective on the world, which may be informing.
But this is the thing, though, bro. People can see who you really are. They know who to. I'm not saying that everybody don't have their number called, but it's a certain way that you carry yourself to let motherfuckers know that you might be with that shit, too. You might rob me or I might blow your fucking head off. They can see the pain in your eyes or where you come from or what you made of, the way you carry yourself. You know what I'm saying? This motherfucker might wanted to rob you at the gas station, but he's saying you carry yourself in a certain way, or he heard you say something that'd be like, all right, that's one of us. You get what I'm saying?
Mm. It's dark. This took a dark turn.
But it's not necessarily even the dark. I'm talking about on some, like you out in the street shit, but just the same when you're going to talk to these fucking agents and managers and shit. They can promise you the world. They don't rob you with guns. They rob you with the words and the papers and shit. That's some Jadakiss, by the way. They do that. It's not everybody is a fucking shark, bro. Some motherfuckers get you with the knife. Some get you with the pen, bro.
Ooh. You got like on the pen?
Yeah, everybody has. But that's part of the game, though. Knowing your worth. If you don't never know what these people made off of this shit, you just know what you agreed to.
Right, right. What can, just to keep it maybe towards comedians more, because that's the world we're in, is like, what are some maybe red flags we can keep an eye out for from mistakes or lessons you've had to learn?
The red flags? Don't be out here trusting people. Don't be believing this shit, man. If it sound good, too good to be true, it is, man.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, nobody's out here looking for your best interest, and don't nobody give a fuck about your feelings. Sooner you learn that shit, the better you can understand it. The person you ride, your homie, might be your dog. You might have anything, bro. But don't never think that somebody's gonna do something for you just because they fuck with you. Nobody. It's all a business, man. And you start to see it once you get. Start working it like business. They don't give a fuck about who you think is funny or whatever. They gonna put whoever on this show because that's what they doing. It's their club. They hired you, but they hired these other motherfuckers too.
Oh. What other business advice could you share?
Like I said, invest in yourself and find another way. Find more than one way to get paid. Don't just get paid off telling jokes. Because people steal jokes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the people not going to check to see who wrote it. They don't give a fuck. They just know who. Excuse me. They just laughed at it because that's what was available at the time. They don't give a fuck who it came from or how old this joke is. None of that. Just get your money and don't never worry about what somebody else doing. You might get hired and be doing the exact same shit and these motherfuckers standing right beside you. Got paid five times more than you just because they asked for it and you didn't. Because they had the right infrastructure set up. They handled business. They had the right manager, the right agent. And they got what they asked for.
So that plays a big part into it, your team.
Right.
Yeah.
You got to, like, you can't be successful by yourself, man.
See, you're saying you got to look out for yourself, but then you can't be successful by yourself.
Nobody gets successful by themselves.
Huh.
Don't never believe that. Nobody. You start fucking around and paying attention to how people get into the industry. The industry is always somebody else who got them in there. Somebody's uncle was a producer, or their dad wrote a Motown song. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You never know the connections. Your name will get you a whole lot further than your talent will. Your reputation precedes you. Being funny is just one of the 10 things you got to do to get just to be in the conversation. And you can't just be fly by night funny. You got to be consistently funny. It's people who are at the top of the game who want to fuck with you, but they just want to see how you handle the next 3 years or see how you develop and what kind of sense you have in the next year. So where you at? Can you stay in there? A lot of people come and go. Can you stay hot? Like, getting hot is easy because don't nobody know you. You do magic every night. Like, where did it come from?
Right.
And then you get in that position where it's like, now you're expected to create magic. Are you really a magician?
It's a great analogy.
Yeah. It's the facts, though, man. Yeah. It's the facts. Like, motherfuckers want to be in that spot, but then when you get in that spot, and you got to do that hour and a half after everybody in the club just came and did their best shit. Can you do it? Are you made of that? You really made of, man. It's the third show of the night. Can you do three a night? That's what headliners do. Can you come on stage and say, fuck it, I'm out here. Where your improv shit at? Are you off the cuff or you can only tell jokes that you wrote? You might be a headliner, but what if you only got exactly 1 hour of jokes to tell?
Yeah, word for word. How do you freestyle? What is the technique behind it? Because I'll try sometimes, but then if one thing misses, I may start to doubt and then I'll start to work backwards. But I've seen potential in it, but I end up tucking my tail and running.
You can't do that, bro. When you telling jokes, you don't wait for this crowd to approve this shit as funny. You tell the joke, like you tell that shit with the same conviction as you tell your joke that you know is a banger. Because it's not the joke that's funny. It's you. You got to be a funny person. Mm. That's why I always wonder how some people made it to, you know, this long. Because they're not funny people. They're not funny at school. They're not funny at work. They weren't funny growing up. They never make nobody. They never made me laugh in all these years I've known them. Like, what is it that you are doing? How are you sustaining? You get what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
Who is booking this motherfucker? How do they have a demand?
Maybe they have a good team.
Exactly. Some people do.
So it's how you say your joke. It's... because you can get caught up in the writing.
That's what I'm saying, bro. You have to detach yourself from, I'm a comedian, here's a joke. That's so cookie cutter. It's not being a comedian. It's not the joke. Comedians make shit funny. The shit don't, you know what I mean? You don't, and making something funny doesn't mean going on stage a bunch of times and saying that shit and trying to figure out to make it funny. Like, a comedian is the type of person who can be going into an audition and might say one word wrong 50 times, but it's funny every time they fuck up. That's a comedian. Now, a comic can sit at home all day and write jokes and flip channels and do little interpretations of what this comedian said, a little word flip here and there. But that's all prepared shit. They do their impression of a comedian. They put all black on and little goofy ass hat and want to tell jokes with a mic stand and a stool, because that's what they're, the essence of comedy. But they're not funny people. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Like,
some people just don't have that natural spark. They can deliver a joke or they can say some shit somebody wrote for them, but they're not funny people.
So it's different skill sets. So maybe somebody may be a better joke writer and not as good improviser.
Right.
But they can still be.
That's just like saying... I'll use instruments all the time, bro. It's just like saying you're a dope-ass trumpet player, but you can only play a song if you got the music. You don't really know how to play that motherfucker. You don't really know how to play that shit. Like, if you know what I'm saying? You see people play basketball. Some motherfuckers are great basketball players, and they're good. Like, any other court you put them on, they are fucking amazing. But then you put them on a court with LeBron and fucking Steph Curry and KD, and they look like children. You get what I'm saying? They're not built for that. They body really physically not built for that, bro. It's like, you just not made for this shit.
Mm-hmm.
You the best point guard in the league, but you can never be a fucking small forward. You'll never be a center. But then there's some motherfuckers who you can put them on the court and you don't even have to tell them what to do. Some people just naturally gifted. Bo Jackson's. Deion Sanders, the fucking, you know what I'm saying? The talent just fucking proceed. The Odell Beckhams, they can do any fucking thing, bro. And they just, and they good at it. If they're not good at it, they're at least good enough at it to captivate you and make you watch them not be good at it.
So you got to have self-belief too.
Man.
That's got to play into it. That confidence seems, the longer I've been doing comedy, you know, I've been doing it over 8 years now, and it seems like confidence can really drive the audience response.
Yeah, man. If you can make people like you, it doesn't matter what you say, because they like you. They want you, they, when people like you, they treat you different. Because you give them something. You give them a feeling. It's happiness. If you can make people happy, fuck what you do. Fuck the jokes that you told. They'll come see you 100 times because you make them happy. It's atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
You acknowledge them. You talk to people different. That's the part about, that's the part that, when you can find out what makes people like you, that's what'll make you a star. That's why Kevin Hart is winning so hard right now. He found out how to make people like him. He's a likable. You want to see him win. You celebrate his victories with him because he make you feel like you're a part of him.
So find out what people like about you.
Right. It might not necessarily be the jokes. It might be your stupid ass pants or your little boyish grin or your voice. Or they just might like you because you're a tall motherfucker. Or they might like you because you're a pretty fat motherfucker. Or you're just a fly person. You smell good. You carry yourself different. You got a different swag, your delivery. You got an accent from where you from. It all go back to you, though.
Yeah.
Like, what type? You got to find, like, this is my best advice. Find a highlighter and use it on yourself. Phew. Like, if you're a woman with some big ass titties, let people know you got them shit. So you got big brown ass or whatever the fuck. All of these are your weapons. If you can sing, if you can do an impression, you can sound just like a motherfucker. These are all talents you bring to the stage because they can only get that shit from you.
Boom. And you have a lot of different talents, man. How are you planning on using these going forward?
That's the part about having them. The talented people don't even know that they're talented. 90% of the time, every artist that you know that's not on that level. Like, I bet you know somebody right now that's probably the dopest artist you've ever met. Can draw anything just sitting there fucking around. But anytime you see it, like, man, that's the dopest shit I ever seen. And they'll tell you everything that's wrong with that shit. I'm not finished. I fucked up on the eyes. I can't draw feet. I smudged some paint. Like, you'll never see that shit. So you will never know how good you are. Never. Like, nobody, like, it's motherfuckers don't know they're great. They just know that they out there doing some other shit.
Is that a common trait you've noticed? Because, I mean, I'm sure you've been around the 1% of the 1% in entertainment.
I have, and it's just like, sometimes you meet people and you can tell them, like a artist or some shit, and they might have made your favorite song. You tell them that shit, they just like, yeah, okay, cool, thank you. And this some shit that changed your life. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, yeah, all right, cool. Hey, man, you know a song I really love? Oh, you fuck with that one? Cool. You get what I'm saying?
It's like, just play it cool. They probably hear it every day, though.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But they ain't never heard your interpretation of it. So you never will see your own greatness until you probably done and an old ass man going back through the highlights, and you don't recognize that shit because you're in the moment. You just won a fucking Oscar award, but if you didn't get to play the part that you wanted to play, you're just still gonna be in pursuit of that. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. There's always something else.
Right.
So what else is there for you?
Man, I ain't even done shit yet.
Boom.
I haven't done shit yet, man. Nothing at all. But that's the thing. I think that a lot of the shit that I want to do or I'll end up doing, you know, with the right amount of hustle and determination and blessings, it'll be something totally obscure from telling jokes. Because one of my goals is to just get on one of those shows or get in one of those spaces that you would never imagine seeing me in. You know what I mean? I'm gonna be the first black dude to be the Joker or some shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the type of shit I be aiming for. Tonight, I'm going to kill the Batman. Like, shit, I'm
I can see that.
I'm on some shit, man.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Wow. We broke into Carlos there. We saw a couple Carlos moments. Right now, you're like Los.
Whoa.
Straight.
I didn't know, man. I didn't know. We were talking some deep shit. You asked me all these questions that required like real answers and shit.
Well, you knew coming in that you started the interview in that mode because you knew what this was.
Right.
So we captured it, man.
It's kind of captured it.
It's captured, man. Before we get out of here, is there anything else you want the world to know?
Hey, man, this the shit I've been on. Anything is true if you believe it.
Okay.
Anything is true if you believe that shit. So be careful what you out here believing. Subscribe to some of your own bullshit, man.
What do you believe?
I believe I'm a magnificent motherfucker every day. And every day shall be full of surprises.
Well, I gotta say, man, after you coming straight off the road, and this is kind of your transition day, you're doing shows all weekend at Uptown.
Uptown Comedy Kona.
And the fact you were willing to do this, man.
Joe, I like your hustle, man. You always on, you stay persistent, you stay grinding, and you just refuse to lose, bro. That's the whole mindset. Like, you were doing a whole one-man show, bro. You get what I'm saying? Like, you do all this shit yourself. That's the grind, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's the grind. Just stay on that shit. Stay posting your shit. Somebody in the comments fuck with your shit so hard, they want to be a part of what you're doing. They want to hold a camera. They want to be in the room. They want to ride with you. You'll start seeing people just volunteer to fuck with you when they see that you, when you got that mindset, that you got that refuse to lose shit.
Yeah.
That draws people to you, and that make them want to help you win. That's why you shouldn't be afraid to ask for what you want. Put it out there. A lot of times as entertainers, we get put into a box where we get afraid to ask for things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't be afraid to ask people to help you. That's another one. And let people do what they do, bro. Let the cameraman be the cameraman. Let the sound dude be the sound dude. Let people be who, let them be who they are, bro. Don't nobody like to be ran. Find somebody you believe in that you don't have to tell to do the shit because they see it like you see it. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I found a lot of those connections also happen organically.
That's what it is.
They just kind of flow into your life and you just kind of hop on the raft together.
You have to, because, you know, the saying is, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, take your friends.
Carlos Miller.
Yep.
My man.
I've been reading this shit, bro. I told you I was going to fuck their minds up.
Yeah, I wasn't ready for that.
I know,
I
man.
I thought we were just going to be, hey, man, how's it been going? You're like, yo, listen to me, man.
Hey, man.
We writing a book.
The right water now is wet and the eagles are dry. What the fuck is he saying? I might have been rambling, but, bro, I had to share that shit with your audience. I know you got some audience out there, bro. That's
what it's all about. Let them know.
That's what it's all about, Joe. It's brick by brick, bro.
Yeah.
Brick by brick.
And I had gone through a little bit of self-doubt over like the past week or so.
Nah.
But this is definitely, I've had a couple good moments to break it out.
Just eliminate all self-doubt. Just don't never doubt yourself. Take all the negative shit out, bro. If you just tell yourself, I'm the shit every day. And don't accept nothing else. It's an old Jeezy line that said, I'm the shit. And if I ain't, y'all let me think what I think. Like, don't change my mind about me being the shit.
Mm-hmm.
Laugh at your problems. Handle them, but don't never let them motherfuckers handle you. Like, don't ever be up stressing about some shit. You either can do it or you can't. Why would you kill yourself worrying about some shit that you can't change? You just got to figure out what the fuck you can do, man.
And that skills and what people like about you, and then just go with that the whole way.
Yeah.
Double
down.
Your
money. Anything that you can do better than everybody else, cash in on it. If you had a job right now that you fucking hate and you know that you got the best handwriting in that bitch, bruh, find a way to write some letters. Do something. I'm just saying, mm-hmm. man. It might be $10 a weekend, but I'm telling you, you can capitalize off anything that you better than everybody else at.
And there's room for everyone.
It is room for everyone, bro. Everybody. Even the dopest motherfucker is looking for an assistant to be the second dopest motherfucker.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the whole shit in the game, bro. Drake is Drake, right? But look what he did when he jumped on the Migos track. He brought the Migos to the forefront and they never left because they was dope.
They were
like, now I'm dope, but this is dope to me. So I'm gonna validate the dope, even if this does nothing. I fucks with this because I fuck with this. You get what I'm saying?
Yep. Because some people go up like a bottle rocket.
Yeah.
And it's just like, pew, like you said, because they weren't actually, they weren't real.
Sometimes your blessing is to be the blessing, bro. You might not be the rapper that's gonna blow up and be the next Lil Wayne, but you might be the person who gave him the opportunity to be the next Lil Wayne. You might find the next one. That whole Tupac shit, you would be the mind that sparked the change, that changed the game. Just because you use what you have and you open your shit up to somebody else. You get what I'm saying? Share that shit. Find the dopeness. Get around it. Find, get around people that inspire you. It all goes back to your team. What you around the most, that's what you gonna, that's what you attract. If you around a whole bunch of dope motherfuckers, she the coldest model, he the coldest photographer, your homeboy is the dopest director to you, and you see how good they are. Like, respect the creatives that don't have to be, that's not already on that level. See that shit. Believe in other people too, because that's how you grow your talent, your blessing.
Yeah, I heard Issa Rae say, like, everybody wants to reach up and try to work with people that are already there. Reach She's across. Like, no, reach across. Exactly.
Reach across, bro. You'd be surprised who you run back into. That dude who telling you, the PA dude who just go get the coffee and make sure everybody get in the car. 5 years, you pulling up is his production. He the director, or he the producer, or he the EP. Or he had enough juice to say, hey, call my man Carlos Miller. He'd be perfect for this. You get what I'm saying? Like, you never know what people can fucking do for you in the future just by cultivating and establishing real relationships, not because you want something, just because they're reaching across and your dopeness validates their dopeness. They help these people find you, so now these people want to give them a permanent, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's the lookout without looking. Sometimes throw me a no-look pass.
Ooh.
That's it. Throw me the no-look.
That's it. Carlos Miller, thanks for being on Hot Breath, my man.
My man.
And I meant to say, you can keep this water. Gift for you, man.
I will post. Look, you see my collective wall of artistic progression.
Is that all fan art?
Yo,
that's so dope.
Yeah,
have fans sending you art.
They send all kind of dope shit. Man.
Pulling up on you, roasting you.
Man,
yeah.
Send me this too. Always connect with fans and get all
types of
shit, man.
Is that all fan stuff over there?
Yeah.
What? Yo, that's sick. It's a mug with your face on it.
Yeah.
And it looks like legit like you, though.
That's what I'm saying, dude.
Like, quality art.
Send it to me. Like, that's his business that he started.
What's his name?
I have to look it up.
Yeah, that's crazy, dude. A bunch of Instagram stuff.
Well,
people have connect with you.
People reach out and be like, I had this one chick make me a gang of swim trunks. Just my own shit that I'll be wearing this summer for vacation.
That's
just on Twitter one day talking about how I needed my own underwear. She was like, well, I'll make underwear, but we could do some swim trunks.
That's sick, dude. That's how I got this water, was through Instagram.
See?
It was like the company's called Fontis and they're based in Georgia. Because they have like a spring in the Blue Spring Mountains. And
yeah.
I was like, hey, you do custom labels. We should collaborate. And boom. Now we got Hot Breath Water.
Come on, bro.
We out here. Dude, I appreciate the words of encouragement. I hope everybody out there listening today learned a lot and found wisdom. And
I gave you game, bitches.
Bruh.
People come on and be funny. They try to do, they do a lot of jokes and shit.
On here?
Yeah.
This is more like behind the, like with, when I interviewed Chad, he's like, man, I don't really have much to say. And then I was like, well, once we got into the machine of 85 South, and he's like, well, we did come from here and nothing's on accident. And, you know, like people that came from working with Steve Harvey and like,
right.
No, the production side of 85 South, I knew the execution was at such a high level. I was like, I need to talk to the producer of this and figure out what is going on here.
Right.
And he didn't drop all the sauce. He was hesitant on some things.
Yeah, that's just him, though.
But I mean, I'm just saying, like, seeing that operation and thinking of your team and who you surround yourself with, that is a well-oiled machine that is winning for a reason. And why P. Diddy is just reaching out and like, yo, you're on to something.
Right.
Because it's not, it hadn't even started, like you said.
It's just a dope ass intro. We're going to keep pushing, bro.
Yeah.
Definitely going to keep pushing because the way that the feedback and the comments and shit of what people have given back to us from what we created, it's just been phenomenal, man. Like, sold out shows all over the place. Jeez. Sold out the House of Blues, man. And it's just like on some comedian shit. And you look at the wall, they only let you sign the wall if you sell out the show. And you look at the names, bro, it's like the biggest entertainers that, you know, these are dope musicians with platinum records and all types of superstar, bro.
And you're on the wall.
We right there with them.
Yeah.
Because we actually sold out the show, bro. It's crazy.
Congratulations, dude.
Thank you, bro.
Thank you for your time. I'll let you lay down and rest up for your shows this weekend, but this has been real.
Most definitely. Y'all keep supporting Joe Biden, the Hot Breath Podcast, your stinking whores, your funky horse, your horse, all of you.
We out here.
Oh, that was sick, man. Yes.
Go back and scoop the jewels, Joe.
Hot breath. All right, Hot Breathiverse. Too many gems to count on this one, but I'll tell you what, his episode is also up on our YouTube page if you want to check out the video. It's just, it's an honor to even be able to sit down with Carlos at this point in his career and just capture all the wisdom and all the why and how behind he has become so successful. Beyond just being naturally funny, he's an educator and he's always learning as well. So I think that's a big thing we can all learn from Carlos is, yeah, being funny is one piece of the puzzle. Carlos Miller has definitely locked in the funny, but he's also locked in the business side with the networking and how to navigating and being authentic and just everything you learned in this and how to navigate show business. I hope you'll be able to apply in your careers moving forward. Oh, the air just came on in here. I love comedy. So we're reporting live from Chattanooga, all my hot brethren and sistren. Remember, next week's episode will be a Q&A episode. So definitely hit me up. Email hotbreathpod@gmail.com. Hit us up on social media, all of it at hotbreathpod. Ask your questions and you will be shouted out and your question will be answered live on Hot Breath next week. So I appreciate all your support and commitment to not only Hot Breath, but to you and your comedy and getting better. That's what it's all about. So the more we can come together right now, Hot Breath. Anyway, the more we can come together and learn from each other, just like we learned from Carlos today, I think the more betterer we will get at comedy fasterer. So all that being said, your support is greatly appreciated. I know a lot of you, is very rewarding to support such a grassroots movement that we have going on here. So if you want to take your support up a notch and actually get a gift out of it, you know, we have Hot Breath merch for sale. If you'd like to check that out, that'll be linked in the show notes for your pleasure. You know, it's not too late for the holidays or for the new year as well. Steve Rivera posted a picture of his socks that he bought and was like, I killed on stage today. And forgot why until I took my shoes off and saw I was wearing my Hot Breath socks. So maybe there's a secret sauce in there. It just feels cool just to even be wearing part of the Hot Breath uniform. The Hot Breath-a-form, if you will. But anyway, let's get on with it. I love you so much, Hot Brethren and Sister. And so let's continue to grow together and learn together. And I'll keep churning these out. Every week, subscribe. I'm posting at least 3 episodes a week, so definitely keep up with it. That Write 10 Challenge, are you writing? Listen to the episode. I won't get into it. But all that being said, keep grinding out there. Wherever you are in your career, trust me, there's always going to be highs and lows. This weekend is such a prime example of I didn't have much booked here in December, and I was like, oh, man, how am I going to afford Christmas gifts? And then the gig I did have booked got canceled, and I was just like, oh man, how am I gonna afford gas, Miss Gifts? Gas, Miss Gifts. That's silly. And then 10 minutes later, after a canceled gig, I get hit up about 6 shows here in Chattanooga. So there are countless stories I have of just comedy taking care of you just right in the nick of time. I booked a gig in Asheville, and then the next night after that gig, my starter goes out, and it was just the amount of money that Asheville gig paid me that I was able to afford that starter. So just stay consistent, kids. That's what it's about right now, and it'll all pay off. So I appreciate you reminding me and inspiring me on a weekly basis. I hope Hot Breath is doing the same for you as we're building this together. So all that being said, you know, shout out to my wife. Shout out to my engineer, Amon Garner. Shout out to my wife, Erin Byers, for making the theme song. If you are in Atlanta, peeps, I'm hosting a game show at Laughing Skull on December 29th. You can pick up tickets there. My wife made an exciting theme song for that as well. So we made it. So anyway, oh, that's so funny. As I'm recording this, Steve Rivera liked one of my photos on social media. So anyway, let's keep connecting. Let's keep interacting however you find it convenient or inspiring to you. I want to meet you there halfway and we build this together. So all that being said, until next Monday, right here on Hot Breath.
Hot Breath. This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.